Into the Fold is a podcast on mental health issues, produced by the Haug Foundation for Mental Health. The Haug Foundation is a strategic grant maker based at the University of Texas at Austin. To learn more, visit us at hogg.utexas.edu. Hello there, and welcome to Into the Fold, a podcast on mental health issues. I am your host, Ike Evans, and today we're going to be talking about Census 2020. This year's census is extraordinary for one main reason. It is taking place under the shadow of a public health emergency, coronavirus, which, as of this recording, is consuming people's attention here in the U.S. and worldwide. Our two guests, Katie Martin Lightfoot and Ava Graves, will be joining us to discuss Census 2020 in general and the impact of coronavirus in particular. But first, you might be wondering why the Haug Foundation for Mental Health is even talking about the census at all. In late 2019, the foundation launched the Texas Communities Count Initiative. $2.1 million in grant funds were awarded to a total of 28 organizations to support complete count efforts in Texas for the 2020 U.S. Census. A pivotal goal of the initiative is to reach traditionally hard-to-count populations, communities, and geographical areas throughout the state. To say that the census is important is an understatement. The census determines the allocation of congressional districts and redistricting boundaries for every level of government, helps schools, transportation, and healthcare industries plan, and it supports business decisions on economic investment, expansions, and where to locate jobs. A study out of George Washington University estimates that Texas receives $59.4 billion per year through 55 federal programs that support key social safety net programs. That same study estimates that Texas is at risk of losing an estimated nearly $300 million of federal funding per year if there were to be an undercount in this year's census. So clearly the census matters. However, this year's census has been largely eclipsed by a crisis that no one anticipated. The coronavirus threat and all the emergency measures that state and local governments have imposed, such as social distancing, to contain the threat. Our two guests, Katie Martin Lightfoot of the Center for Public Policy Priorities in Austin and Ava Graves of McCabe Roberts Avenue United Methodist Church in Beaumont, Texas, are here to discuss the 2020 census, their on-the-ground get-out-the-count activities, and how COVID-19 might impact their efforts. They are joining us remotely, as you might understand, given the circumstances. Katie and Ava, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, happy to be here.
Okay, so Katie, let us start with you. To make it real concrete, what is the census and why is it important?
So the census is our nation's chance to get to count everyone living in the United States once and only once and in the right place. So the U.S. Constitution actually mandates that we count everyone living in the United States. We've been doing this since 1790. The census is really important for a couple of reasons, and I want to point some of those out. First being political power and representation. And so when the census counts everyone that's living in our country, that also determines how many representatives we get in Congress. And so for Texas in particular, we could potentially gain 2 to 3 new seats depending on if we get an accurate count. In addition to that, it could also affect electoral college votes, depending on how many states get for presidential elections. And it also informs redistricting. And so when the census, when the data is sent to the president, that information is shared out and filtered down. And so when we think about redistricting, districts are from the federal level up to or down to our more local level. So thinking about our school boards all the way up to who's representing us in the U.S. Senate. In addition to political representation, we can also think about the services our communities need to thrive. And so For Texans, when we send our tax dollars to DC, those dollars come back to us for a lot of different federal programs based on who is actually living in our state. And so then when we think about resources that our community needs funding for, like our schools, our healthcare system, food security programs, housing security, our roads, our fire departments, all of this funding is coming from the federal government based off of our census numbers. And so if we don't have an accurate count in our state, chances are we're going to miss out on valuable funding coming back to our communities. A number that I like to share is that in Texas, if we have a 1% undercount in our state, we will lose $300 million per year for the next 10 years. So again, that's money coming out of our communities that are needed for services from a wide range, again, from education to healthcare to our roads. And so if that money isn't coming from the federal government, that means that burden is going to fall on our state government, but also local governments, our philanthropic sector, our nonprofit sector as well, to really put the bill on that. And then last but not least, our businesses use census data as well. And so our businesses are looking at the census data to figure out where to set up shop. And so with that information, they're able to make sure that our local economies can continue to thrive.
Okay. Thank you for that. So I mentioned hard to count communities in my intro. So I guess, Katie, I'll put this question to you first. But Ava, if you have anything to add, feel free to jump in at the end. How are hard to count communities defined, and what makes them a challenge to reach?
That's a great question. So a hard to count community or an undercounted community is a population or that was undercounted in the 2010 census. So that means that we have low response rates. And you can think about this in two ways. So one, you can think about it geographically. So in Texas, 1 in 4 Texans or 25% of the population is hard to count. And so when you look at the map to see where those folks are, you'll notice that they are in some of our higher, more urban areas. So thinking about Harris County, Dallas County, El Paso County, but also along the Rio Grande border, you'll see a lot of hard to count populations that are concentrated there. You can also talk about hard to count in terms of specific population groups. So when we think about hard to count, one of our biggest hard to count groups is our 0 to 4-year-olds. So you might be thinking babies can't respond to the census, but their parents and guardians can. And oftentimes they're often left off the census questionnaire. And so that's one of our really high hard to count populations. In addition to that, people of color, immigrants, folks that might not speak English, might have a language barrier, the LGBT community, folks in rural spaces, folks without access to reliable internet connectivity. When we think about the list of hard-to-count populations, it's really long, and as folks who are engaging in get-out-the-count efforts and trying to make sure that we're getting everyone counted, it's really important to make sure that we are thinking about these hard-to-count populations and meeting them where they're at so we can educate them and empower them to complete the census questionnaire.
Okay. Ava, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I think Katie is right on spot with that. I actually live in a hard-to-count community, as well as our church. There are 27 hard-to-count tracts in Beaumont, Texas alone. And so living in this community and doing ministry in this community really inspires us to help educate and empower our community to be counted and to build trusting relationships that will allow us to help folks understand the importance of the census and the benefits of it, to dispel any myths and calm any fears that folks have about being counted.
Okay. Katie and Ava, both of your organizations are recipients of the Texas Communities Count grants of one kind or another. So let's pretend that times are normal just for the sake of this question. What do you aim to accomplish with your grant funds? Ava, why don't we start with you?
Well, our goal is outreach and building trusting relationships for being able to implement a higher count for our community. Had originally scheduled several community events in collaboration with other churches in our area. Of course, now we're having to modify things immensely and regroup on how we're going to reach out to our community in a collaborative effort. So our goal is to make a huge impact within the identified tracts that we're focusing on through collaborative efforts with other churches and community entities in our area. So now that's being revisited, and we're coming up with other creative ways of making that happen.
Okay, thanks. And Katie?
Yes, so I'm gonna take us back to the last legislative session in Texas. And during that legislative session, no legislation was passed to form a complete count committee at the state level, nor was any funding put aside to make sure that Texans were counted for the 2020 census. And so with that information and knowing that there wasn't going to be a state-sponsored complete count effort, the Center for Public Policy Priorities joined forces with Communities Foundations in Texas to come together to form Texas Counts. So Texas Counts is a statewide collaborative effort working to engage leaders from different sectors and organizations to leverage, amplify, and share resources to help get out the count in Texas. And so this was in direct response to not having a state-sponsored effort. We wanted some type of organization happening at the state level. And so with that, we enlisted folks from the business, government, faith, nonprofit, education, communication sectors to bring them together to talk about, one, the importance of the census, but also kind of help provide them resources and information to get out the count to their networks. And so with that, Texas Counts views ourselves as a connector, hub, and partner in this work. And so when we think about partner, we know that there are amazing efforts happening across our state at the local level. And so when we think about our local complete count committees that are operating across our state, we view them as partners in this work and wanting to make sure that we're really amplifying the work that they're doing and providing support where we can. In terms of being a connector, Texas Counts actually has a two-prong effort. And so one side is the pooled fund. And so we went across, the folks at CFT went across Texas to get some funding pulled together into a pooled fund. And so with that money, they were able to send out funds to folks who are engaging in outreach efforts in hard to count areas with hard to count populations. And so we were able to provide that resource. And what CPPP oversees is a campaign arm. And so again, this is where we have brought together all of these different folks from different sectors. And again, really just empowering them, engaging them in census outreach work. And so with these partners, they have a wide reach. So when we think about Feeding Texas, for example, they serve on our nonprofit CBO subcommittee, and they are connected to food banks across the state. And so by us, by them being connected to the Texas Counts Network, they're able to disseminate information to food banks across our state about the importance of the census. And last but not least, we're a hub. So we have a website, which is texascounts.org. And on that website, we try to be the one-stop shop for all things census in Texas. And so there, folks that are engaging in Get Out the Count efforts can find lots of great resources that they can utilize and connect with their own community members and adapting those resources to making sure, again, that they're reaching folks that we might not necessarily get it when we think about it at the higher state level. And then we also just have resources for individuals or families who are trying to fill out the census and not kind of understanding. Sometimes the questions can be a bit confusing. And so we also serve as a resource to community members who are trying to complete the census or need a little bit more information about that as well.
Okay. So let us now finally acknowledge the elephant in the room, coronavirus and COVID-19. What kind of guidance is the Census Bureau giving you? And I guess this is for both of you. And what are you still figuring out for yourselves?
Well, of course, safety first. contact. That's the main thing that we're trying to figure out. How are we going to have contact with folks in view of the orders that are in place statewide and locally? So that's our biggest challenge right now. How do we reach out to people when we're under these restrictions? The census is constantly updating their webpage in view of keeping us informed about the virus. So we are really, I would say, kind of stumped right now. We really are trying to wrap our minds around the magnitude of this virus and the impact that it's having on the plans that we had in place. So we're currently in the process of interviewing folks to help us in the process of getting out the count. But I have to tell you, we're really stumped right now, and we're seeking guidance. I mean, it's wonderful listening to Katie and hearing the excitement in her voice and the resources and the connections that they're providing in helping this census be a success in view of this horrific virus that's going around. So we are, honestly, we are feeling like we're at ground zero and we're starting all over.
So the first thing is, everything that Ava is feeling is what folks who are engaging in Get Out the Count efforts across our state, across the country are feeling, is just that feeling of really being, oh my gosh, we're going back to square one. And when we think about our hard to count populations, I mean, it's really about that personal connection. And I know Ava talked about the importance of trusted messengers and being a trusted voice. And so you're a trusted voice when you see someone at your place of worship that you trust and you're talking to them about the census, or your children's school, you trust their teachers and they're sharing information about the census in those take home folders. And unfortunately, at this point in time, like, that's not an option for us. And so folks at the grassroots level all the way to the grass tops are really trying to think about how we can change our ground game strategy in this time that we're in now. And so one important message out there is that the census is still very much happening. It's still operational. Folks starting last week were receiving invitations to fill out the census questionnaire online. And with that, the message that the Census Bureau is really pushing out right now is that you can respond to the census online, over the phone, or by mail. And all three of these options don't involve you interacting with anybody. So there won't be a census taker during this self-response time coming to your door asking for your responses. With that in mind as well, just thinking about what is happening at kind of the national level and what the Census Bureau is doing during this time, is that we have been doing, again, the census since 1790. So the census has seen times of war, times of peace. And so with that, the Census Bureau, again, is one of our strongest federal organizations that has been through a lot and has been around for a really long time. And so just within kind of their playbook, they do have an addendum directly related to pandemics. And so I know that they have a COVID-19 task force that is monitoring the situation, but also they're with this monitoring situation, things are changing in terms of census operations. So for example, today is March 20th. And so I believe it was announced yesterday that for the next 2 weeks, that census, the field operations are kind of put on pause right now, just because it's not safe to be having that interaction, that contact with other folks. And so the Census Bureau understands that, yes, this is something that's constitutionally mandated and it's something that has to be done, but they're also very concerned about the health and safety of their employees, but also folks in the community that they would potentially be interacting with during this time.
And of course, one of the challenges with the hard to count communities is access to internet service and Wi-Fi. And so for many who are able to go online to fill out the census, that works. And the challenge with the hard to count communities, many don't have that available to them. And that's the part that I feel a sense of urgency about, that we have to just proceed cautiously.
Okay, so listening to both of you, I mean, we certainly do not want to say anything that runs the risk of dashing people's hopes about this, but I just want to put this to you as straightly as I can. How concerned are you both that coronavirus will have an impact on the census that is simply impossible to mitigate?
That's a really poignant question. And it's I'm very concerned about the impact that it will have.
Okay.
Extremely. When we think about, when I read about the hard to count communities, when I look around me where we are, where our ministry is, it really is a person to person type effort that I feel will be the most successful in this area and areas like mine. People really need direction and education and encouragement and support in the process. So it concerns us deeply, but we're hopeful. We always remain hopeful. I love what Katie just said, how the census has been around since the 1700s and through all aspects of war and peace and pandemics and et cetera. So we remain hopeful, but we are definitely having some strong concerns of how we will be successful in this season.
Ava, I think you just put that really well in terms of there's definitely still hope. Again, this business is still happening, but there are some major concerns that we have to address again in this time, just because that ground game strategy is not in the equation, and we have to figure out how to reach folks. I get the opportunity to travel across the state, but also connect with folks so there's just a lot of folks where they were really counting on doing that more community focused, more setting up at local events or at the local places of worship and really connecting with communities that way, just because they are such a rural space and they're really concerned about how they're going to pivot this strategy that they had in terms of going to these community events and setting up shop in community spaces and how they're going to reach the folks that don't have access internet or they don't have a mailbox there, and so they're not going to be getting that census questionnaire in the mailbox, and so lots of questions around that. I mean, this is affecting all of us, obviously on a professional level in terms of our work, but also personally as well. We are all in this very odd time now, and so I think for a lot of us, we've kind of had to take a little bit of a step back to do some personal self-care, but also starting to brainstorm what some of those get out the count strategies can be without that in-person contact. So across the country, across our state, people are having to rethink their get out the count strategies from doing something more in person, like a tabling event, to thinking about other ways to reach folks. And so, for example, when we think about this time that we're in, that there's going to be a lot of essential locations that are still going to be open. And so these are opportunities to where we can drop off flyers, pamphlets, or put information out there. For example, the food bank up in North Texas, the North Texas Food Bank has been doing, had a great idea. When they're sending out those packages with essential food items in them, they're also putting a sticker on those packages about the census. And so again, this is an essential location, a resource that people need during this time. And so, yeah, folks across our state are getting creative in terms of how they can get out the count. And so taking us and seeing what they're doing in San Antonio, they're thinking when they think about their paid media, they're moving to, if we all have been to the gas station before and see those little ads, and so potentially putting census messaging in there, putting door hangers out in hard to count areas that they're targeting. And so without ever having to interact with anyone, by just putting a sanitized door hanger on their doors, that's a quick way to share information to those hard to count populations. And then of course, thinking about, is there good locations where we can put yard signs up? We know during election seasons, we see yard signs everywhere about candidates, but it's another great way of just putting those up at places that are essential locations. So outside a grocery store, outside of a school where they're offering meals for children. Again, just trying to be creative and thinking about where those places are in community that people will be frequenting and how we can slip in some census messaging to get the word out.
Okay. So I guess my last question is, if you could pretend that that I'm someone a lot more important than I am, a decision maker, what is it that you would most like to get across about what it is that, you know, that your community needs in order for your Get Out the Count efforts to succeed?
I would say if I were speaking to someone who had power, is we need more funding in this work. And so now we know that we're not going to be doing that in-person engagement right now. We're going to need more money to think more creatively about how we can get the message out to folks. So whether that's money for paid advertisements on the radio, at those gas stations, on TV, however we can get the message out to folks. But also when we think about setting up and creating flyers or pamphlets, and we're having these at essential locations, printing costs a lot of money, and a lot of times organizations just don't have the capabilities to do mass printing. So again, that would be another really wonderful funding opportunity as well. But yeah, just more money so we can think about how we can get out the count without having to do in-person contact with folks would be great.
I think if there was a way for us to be at medical facilities to help people fill out the census online, that would be a great opportunity to reach an audience of folks. The idea of funding, there's always a need for funding. I appreciate that, Katie, what you were saying. But I just feel like there has to be something creative that we can do to connect with people, because that for me is, I can't see past that yet. How are we going to reach these hard to count areas if we can't touch these hard to count areas? So I welcome insights or creativities or ideas about that in this season of having to be isolated or socially distanced from folks. What can the powers that be do to help us reach folks in this season of social distancing? So I don't know what that looks like.
Our guests are Katie Martin Lightfoot of the Center for Public Policy Priorities and Ava Graves of McCabe Roberts Church, both recipients of the Texas Communities Count grants. We're talking about Census 2020 in the time of coronavirus. We really appreciate your willingness to come on, talk to our listeners about what it is that you're experiencing and what your hopes are for how this might go. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Katie, it's good talking with you as well.
Yes, it was great hearing what y'all are doing. And thanks so much, Ava.
The Hogg Foundation has been feeling the effects of the uncertain new world that COVID-19 and the coronavirus have created seemingly overnight. Just for the benefit of our listeners, I would like to share with you the following message from our executive director, Dr. Octavio N. Martinez, Jr. And I quote, "Dear friends, as I think of the implications of COVID-19, I am reminded of the beginning of A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times, it was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness, it was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity, it was the season of light, it was the season of darkness, it was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. And it is that last word, despair, that I wish to address. I recognize the psychological impact that COVID-19 can potentially have on our community and our loved ones. It is normal to feel stress, anxiety, and even fear during a crisis. But how we respond individually as colleagues, friends, parents, loved ones is crucial. In fact, there is much we can do. Start with taking care of yourself emotionally and physically. Stay informed through reliable sources on COVID-19, but avoid excessive exposure to media coverage on COVID-19. Try to eat healthy, well-balanced meals, exercise regularly, get plenty of sleep, and avoid excessive use of caffeine and alcohol. Take breaks to unwind. Deep breathing exercises, yoga, stretching, and or meditation are very beneficial for the soul, the body, and the mind. Stay connected with colleagues, friends, and loved ones. Share your concerns and feelings and be willing to hear others. In other words, maintain healthy relationships. For those of us with pre-existing physical and mental health conditions, continue your treatment plans and be vigilant for any new symptoms or changes. By taking care of ourselves, we enhance and increase our resilience to address adversity and help others. It's also important to remember that collectively, we have been through hardships and difficult times before, and we will persevere through this together as a foundation, as a university, as a city, as a state, as a nation. And that brings us to the conclusion of this episode. I have included a list of other COVID-19 related resources in the episode description. This list is not for hoarding. Please share it with everyone you can think of. Just as taking care of ourselves enhances our ability to help others, so too does it work in reverse. By helping others, we enhance our own resilience. Please leave us a review, subscribe to us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or TuneIn. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.